Fantastic weather, couldn't be better. It rained last night, and I understand from our faithful organizer it's going to be a little bit of a challenge with breakfast serving because it's a little wet over there. But he was going to get out a big fan and make it dry and, or whatever he's going to do. Very practical messages in our lives as devotees to learn this, the tools and the application of the tools, the art of empathic communication. So the previous discussion was soul-to-soul relationships, and I thought purposely, intentionally, the holistic picture of the self, besides as spirit souls, we're all individual, but we're also within a gross and subtle body. And so it's important when understanding the needs, our needs and the needs of others, so that we can have effective empathic communication, we recognize there's naturally going to be differences, and we honor those differences. That's the message for this morning. One of the essential parts of honoring others is, aside from there's differences and it's perfectly fine, by Krishna's arrangement, we all have different natures and so forth, different modes and karma and everything operating. But inside, there's this intrinsic worth for us and for others. We heard about the intrinsic or inherent quality of Krishna prema, or the intention of pleasing Krishna. But even just the fact that we're spirit soul, it's a fact, we're spirit soul, there is intrinsic worth. So that's, and the other. And so what to speak of amongst all spirit souls that have intrinsic worth because they're spirit souls, there's some souls that have bhakti, and that's like very special, according, you know, statistical analysis in Bhagavad Gita says it's very rare. Manusha nam sahasreshu, you know that one. Very rare. In high school, there's an attempt to help high school kids that don't really have a deep appreciation necessarily of the intrinsic worth of the soul within, but there's an attempt by educators and people that are broad-minded, embracing our differences. Is that what it says? Yeah, embracing our differences. So that's the winning illustration. Down there is a flower, and some people are watering the flower, and some people are stepping on the flower. Some people don't like differences. Some people like differences. And there's both types and shades and varieties in this world. So recognizing it's just the way things are, there's differences on the spiritual level and on the material level, and embracing those differences. And the value that we find in others, the, you would say, this intrinsic worth, or the soul that's inside, the animating force of the soul that's within inside. Now here's a little addition to that. Respecting the worth of others starts with accepting our own self-worth fully acknowledging with implicit honesty our shortcomings, faults, etc. Something that I have recently been spending some time with, just a little sharing, is the art of meditation, because there was a question yesterday about involving people in meditation as a way to bring them to Krishna. So there's a lot of interest out there in the West and beyond the West. At least the other place that I've spent significant time is in China, and it's a growing interest. It's a wave of interest. So, and one of the reasons it's a wave of interest is problem solving. And one of the problems that's an epidemic problem is depression or other types of negative emotion. You know, it's unprecedented in our modern times, at least, of people. It's an industry in the medical field that's the depression. So it is found that meditation is the best medicine, better than whatever the pharmaceuticals come up with. Although that industry is already well developed and down the road and rah, rah, rah. But meditation. So with this, some devotees here in the room have helped put together a presentation, Overcoming Negative Emotion, The Art of Meditation. And it's a four-part thing, and it's nice. And it's relatable. We did it right here in Gitanagri with whatever was the number, 100 plus, 110, 120, whatever the number was, students from different places in the Northeast on the art of meditation, overcoming negative emotions. So one of the messages of the negative emotion is this depression thing that one feels unworthy. And it's a spiral. It just goes down and down and down, like a vortex, down and down and down and down and down and down. I'm not worthy. So it's part of the acceleration of depression. So that's in part where this is coming from. There is self-worth, and from the spiritual perspective, the self-worth is we're spirit soul and part of Krishna, and we're worthy of Krishna's love, although I have flaws and shortcomings. I'm meant for Krishna's pleasure, and Krishna has genuine appreciation and feelings for me. Krishna is very kind, and Krishna is very loving. So, respecting others' self-worth, how do you do that without accepting your own? So there's this acceptance message. And acceptance was something that was a significant part or piece of this overcoming negative emotions. Accept your circumstance. The circumstance maybe is outside of your control. And then you feel something about that circumstance that's outside of your control, and it hurts. Or it's uncomfortable or whatever. It can be physical or mental or combination. So acceptance is, that's what it is. Not like just shrug your shoulders and you don't necessarily do anything, but the emotion is acceptance. And I'm going to make a little reference to a TED Talk. You don't have to write it down, but you can, if you're interested, I'm sharing this with others. Go TED Talk and vulnerability, and you'll find the 20-minute TED Talk on vulnerability. Someone that's made it their profession to study statistical analysis of people are whole, or they inherently have the sense of self-worth and well-being. even though circumstances outside themselves are not the best. So, useful. And another little sharing, just on this acceptance topic. Recently, in Potomac, there was a nice devotee visiting there named Adi Purusha. Some of you are from that area, so you know him. He is one of the fantastic teachers of Bhakti Shastri and Prabhupada's books. He's a very, very qualified teacher, and he has this little acceptance message which was shared with me, so I'm now sharing it with you. When we don't accept an undesired event, it becomes anger. When we accept it, it becomes tolerance. We heard about tolerance is necessary for empathic communication. When we don't accept uncertainty, it becomes fear. When we accept it, it becomes adventure. When we don't accept others' bad behavior towards us, it becomes hatred. When we accept it, it becomes forgiveness. This is part of empathic communication for sure. When we don't accept others' success, it becomes jealousy. When we accept it, it becomes inspiration. Wow. And then one of the concluding messages, acceptance is the key to handling life well. So, just a little sharing with about this principle of acceptance. Now, the application of that is acceptance of differences. Here is a very famous expression by Srila Prabhupada in a letter. We referred to this already, but here it is again. Please try to maintain the philosophy of unity and diversity that will make our movement successful. A very famous letter that Prabhupada wrote way back, 1973, and it still applies. Unity in diversity. Some of you may know that in Mayapur, every other year, there's this International Leadership Sangha. Everything's got to have an acronym these days, so they call it ILS. So the intention is bring leaders from all over the world. And so 150, 200 plus leaders, you know, not just presidents and those people who are doing some kind of leadership role. And they're invited, 250 people from this culture, that culture, this language, this color, that shape, that size, this language. Shoo. Are we an international organization? When you get everybody together like that, you go, wow. And it's a several day, 4, 5, 6 day event where there's a whole schedule of 40 different presenters in a schedule. You can go to this one, that one, mix and match them and, you know, have the experienced devotees address the leaders of our society about messages that are important for devotees internationally. So I was asked one time to be a speaker and I chose this one, unity and diversity. Because Prabhupada said it was something that's important for us. And I'm going to need somebody that has a microphone and is closer to the screen than I am to read what's next. Raghunandan, can you just read it?
Srila Prabhupada, sometimes a variety of examples...
Slowly.
Sometimes a variety of examples helps us to understand or appreciate the problem better. In the vase, there is a variety of flowers, and that variety helps us better appreciate the idea of flowers. From any point of view, Krishna can resolve all problems. All problems, that is called unity in diversity. Our students come from different backgrounds, but because they are all in Krishna consciousness, they are unified.
Notice he didn't say they're all Krishna conscious. They're all in Krishna consciousness. Now, this was a discussion between Srila Prabhupada and a professor from Ireland named McGrady. And you may know the history. In Ireland, there's, you know, the Catholics and the Protestants. They've been having bloody wars for decades. Bloody war for Wedlick. And so he was asking Prabhupada, how do you bring a solution to that conflict? And Prabhupada was saying, this principle, unity and diversity. The man said, well, that doesn't bring a solution. And then Prabhupada gestured to the vase that was on the table, said, just like this vase, there's different flowers of different color and different fragrance, and that makes the vase beautiful. Supposing it was just one color and one fragrance, it wouldn't be as beautiful. So Krishna has made variety. But seeing the variety appreciates the essence of flower or flowers. Variety helps one appreciate the essence. And then he was pointing to the devotees in the room and saying, just like these devotees, they came from different backgrounds, they have different individualities, but because they are all in Krishna consciousness, they are unified. So the unity is what we heard the other day about. Within the heart of every living being, not only there's a soul, but this, the inherent intention of the soul is to please Krishna. That's the unity principle. And then there's diversities of souls and there's diversities of packages for the souls. And part of empathic communication is to recognize and honor the differences. Resting upon the intrinsic worth, the soul that's within. And these slides are actually directly taken from that ILS presentation. One of my godbrothers, Badri Narayan Swami, who's known by some of you don't know him because he's mainly in California, mainly in San Diego. If you happen to go to San Diego, look him up. He's lots of fun. I've heard him say this 20 times. In Los Angeles, sitting at Prabhupada's feet, hearing him give a Bhagavatam class, he heard him say, and repeats it regularly, one sign of intelligence is the ability to hold opposing points within the mind. Now, the mind is a binary entity, just like computers are replicating what the mind does. That's all it does. It's a one or a zero. So the mind is similarly a binary. It's this or it's that. And intelligence says you can see it's this and you can see it's that, and simultaneously they're both okay. They don't cancel each other. It's got to be either this or that. That's the mind. Krishna's inside everything or outside everything. One or the other, please. He's both. Double talk. But it's not. It takes some intelligence, and that's a sign of intelligence. And so here we have differences. I know there's some differences floating around from time to time in the Hare Krishna movement. Sometimes, anyways. And keeps Brajabihari really busy. Conflict, mediation, and resolution. CDR. Got an acronym for that one, too. But he's got a different one. He calls it ISKCON Resolve. But it's CDR. And he does it professionally. Professionally means he works for the U.S. government. He worked for the Department of the Interior, and he's so up there, the person he reports to is whatever you call that person, the minister. What do you call that? Was that his title? Secretary of the Interior. That's who he reports to. Prajvihari's up there. And he does similar service in the Hare Krishna movement. We keep him busy. And so a big part of what he does has a lot to do with this needs. Like when people have a conflict, one of the lessons of the conflict resolution people is they may be conflicted over this or that, but what's behind this or that is there's a need or an interest or a concern. I have an acronym for that. They call it a NIC. Needs or interests or concerns that aren't being met. And so the conflict is not really about, I'm sure Bir Krishnamurti spoke about this, and it's in his book. So go more deeply in what's the need, interest, and concern. Of course, he just says needs. What's the needs, the unfulfilled need of somebody? I mean, we may not find out, but the exchange that's where there's a conflict situation may be because it's not really that situation, it's something deeper, and it's nice to know what that something deeper is, because that's a need of that individual. And then we have different individuals. Thank God. You know, it causes conflict. If we don't see the unity within that diversity, we don't see there's a bunch of flowers here and it's beautiful. We say, you know, I'm pink. I'm green. Well, I'm orange. And I'm red. And then there's disagreement like this. And there's different emotions depicted. These two guys are looking at each other the same way. These two are looking at each other the same way. Those two are looking at each other like, whoa. And this goes on. Look at this. And some people just keep doing it their whole life. Donald Trump. He needs a lesson in empathic communication that man. He's not my favorite personality in this planet. And call that man a leader? My God. Okay, so Bhagavad Gita. A learned person cannot think of any living being as separate from Krishna. Beautiful example. Just as the leaves and branches of a tree are not separate from the tree. Well, there's different branches and different leaves, but they're not separate from the tree. And so similarly, living beings, both the soul and the coverings of the soul, are they separate from Krishna? No. So the unity is to see that connection with Krishna. And a learned person can't even think of being separate from Krishna, but our problem is we do. We're this pratak, remember that term? Separatist, Prabhupada's translation. Separate interest from Krishna's interest, separate existence. So Bhagavad Gita will help us, it should help us, it will help us, to come to the position of respecting differences because we see the connection with Krishna. What does one see when one gets such knowledge? Let's say the verse together. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavihastani Shuni chaiva sapake cha pandita samadarshana. We can recite the verse very nicely. Let us apply it nicely too. The humble sages, should be humble sage, no? By virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision, a learned and gentle Brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. Well, there's differences, but sama darshana, equal vision, is to see differences, but the unity, unity and diversity. Now, Prabhupada's explanation of this verse is when you see a tiger, you don't go and embrace the tiger. You may embrace your son, but you don't go and embrace the tiger. We have different behaviors acknowledging there's differences, but intrinsically there's the unity. We respect and honor differences and then behave accordingly. Just like that wonderful example of Yogeshwara explaining Prabhupada in Geneva and met with one person this way, another person that way, and he assessed very quickly the person and related to the person according to their differences, but respecting them as souls. He wished with love to bring them feeling their natural feelings for Krishna. The living entity in his conditioned stage identifies himself with the body. That's this image here. But when he identifies himself with the Lord within himself, he becomes just as free as the Lord, even while in the body. He becomes just as free as the Lord, even while in the body. We want freedom. Just a little sharing. Same point, just the first year of the New York Rath Yatra, the first New York Rath Yatra was 1975, if I remember correctly. Maybe it was 75, I think. So Prabhupada was there for that first Rath Yatra, and they arranged, the devotees, arranged for Prabhupada to meet with media people and professors and those kind of people. And one of the very interesting exchange with Associated Press came with a remark that it sounded kind of like submissive, but it was a challenging question. Swamiji, sometimes people say, and he was like pushing the idea himself, it wasn't just some people say, that in your organization you discourage people from doing service for the rest of society. You poo-poo that. You discourage it. You're depriving, Swamiji, the world from the valuable service that your followers can do for the benefit and welfare and upliftment of society. Swamiji, what do you have to say about that? It went on for about 40 minutes. Same question. Prabhupada didn't move. He gave the same answer. And it went around and around, and eventually Prabhupada said, this man is not very intelligent. But what Prabhupada was saying is, when you're in prison, sometimes the prison warden engages the prisoners to break rocks. Nelson Mandela was engaged that way. If you know a little bit of his history, Nelson Mandela was sent to an island with some other people, and he had a little jail cell. And each day they were taken out, and their activity was hammers break rocks. Put the dust from the broken rocks into bins, and at the end of the day, throw the dust into the sea and then go back to your cell room. Like, total insult and humiliation. Purposeful. Hard labor, that has no meaning other than insulting. So Prabhupada was saying, supposing someone goes into a prison and the people are busy breaking rocks. And the message to the persons that are breaking rocks is, my dear friends, there's another position for you, and that's the position of freedom. And what do they say? How come you're not helping us break rocks? Which is what the Associated Press interview was telling Prabhupada. How come you're not helping us break rocks? And Prabhupada was saying, you know, he didn't say it differently. He didn't say, I've come to give a message that there's another position. He just kept giving the same example. The person that comes to jail, the prison, and doesn't break rocks, but tells the message, there's another activity. Your real position is not breaking rocks. Gentlemen, your real position is freedom. And the mission. Oh, it's not that, you know, in the holistic picture, it's not that Prabhupada was saying, don't become a doctor, or etc., etc. Don't open Bhaktivedanta Hospital because it's just mundane welfare work and we don't do those things. The Bhaktivedanta Hospital has made so many devotees. They made a presentation one time in our GBC meeting, and the statistics are just, they're doing better than temples. For how many people are now chanting japa, and how many people are aspiring to be initiated, and how many people are initiated. And both the doctor's staff and the patients. So, you know, the question the other day about meditation. So, it's not, don't be a doctor. But, there's a very famous interview, I've listened to it many times, a mother at the Bhaktivedanta Manor came to meet Prabhupada and said, you know, over and over again, came with a priest to help her say it, Swamiji, you're doing wonderful work, blah, blah, blah. My son is qualified to be a doctor. Can you just encourage him to be a doctor? And he can do that for Krishna. And Prabhupada wouldn't budge. He said, there's so many doctors. Well, he can be one of those so many doctors, and he can give spiritual benefit to the people along with this doctor, and then we need doctors. And Prabhupada wouldn't budge. I don't know what happened later on. And the priest said, you know, you're depriving the world of the breaking rock service that he could be doing for everybody, and Prabhupada wouldn't budge. Now, I don't know the details of that person and what their nature was and anything like that. I'm not, you know, a number of times in the interview. And Prabhupada was not budging. Now, sometimes he would encourage. Rabindra Saruprabhu said, he asked Prabhupada because he was being told, don't waste your time, this mundane education, don't get your PhD, just be a full-time Hare Krishna guy. And he asked Prabhupada, and he encouraged him. Now, did Rabindra Sarup Prabhu use that scholarship, scholastic skill in Krishna service? Big time. So different instructions at different times for different people. But we respect differences. We love differences. We sometimes quibble because of differences, but we love differences. It would be really bland if it wasn't. But unfortunately, it's not bland. Materially and spiritually, so many differences. And that position of freedom, that was what inspired telling that AP story. That's the real position. And so seeing the Lord within oneself, that's in addition to the soul that's our intrinsic worth, there's what living being doesn't have a super soul inside? No such thing. He doesn't take a vacation. Go somewhere for Memorial Day weekend and get stuck in a traffic jam. He's accompanying the living entity throughout their entire sojourn. That's that position of freedom, Krishna consciousness. There's that same image. Similarly, as with the verse that we just saw, here's another one, let's say it together. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma nasochati nakankshati samak sarvesha bhuteshu madbhaktim labe par. Notice the big letters. Samak sarveshu bhuteshu. Sarva bhuta, it's all living entities. Samak sarveshu bhuteshu. Seeing equally. Equally disposed towards every living entity. Are there differences? Yes. Equally disposed? Yes. And that's the position of the Brahma-bhuta. The Brahma-bhuta means, listen to Prabhupada explain it, it's really nice. Very consistent. Brahma-bhuta means to understand who you really are in terms of the spirit soul, this unity part along with the diversity part. But we're really the spirit soul. And symptom? Prasanatma. Nasochati nakangsati. Samak sarveshu bhuteshu. Those are symptoms of understanding you're not the body. Those three. Happiness, neither hankering or lamenting. Equally disposed. We heard Prabhupada speaking this, didn't we? Of the expanding the circle. Bhaktivinoda, similarly, expanding the circle of compassion to all living entities. That's very broad. We can't even think of all living entities. But all living entities. So whatever living entities you run into, you know, the mosquito that's thirsty, or the little ant as you're walking along, or whatever. Living entities have their connection with Krishna. So we're respecting that soul within, and you may behave a little differently with the mosquito than with your daughter. Hopefully. Equally disposed. And remember that verse from yesterday morning, this important verse from Rupa Goswami's writing, that the basis of bhakti. Bhakti enables us to access that intrinsic inherent quality within us that enables all these wonderful things. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam Bhaktir Uttama. Bhakti is, that's the answer for us. All these nice things that we're learning, hopefully, and applying, even more hopeful, on empathic communication, it springs very naturally from the bhakti process. Compassion is inseparable from bhakti, we heard. And it's true. And our relationships, when bhakti becomes deeper and our intention to please Krishna becomes deeper, then this samak sarveshu bhuteshu position becomes natural for us. The respecting of differences. I like this image. This is a little girl absorbed in the fragrance of the flower. And there's differences in this world, different fragrances from different flowers. And of course, the Krishna conscious position is, how wonderful is my Krishna? He can make so many flowers with so many different colors and so many different fragrances. How wonderful is my Krishna? But that's what's behind this, the spiritual position of respecting differences, not just, you know, the high school version where they want to get kids to stop bullying each other because they're of a different color or the different culture, or, you know, differences. You can come to that position of real affection from one another that's on the soul platform while at the same time we're dealing with the holistic aspect of the self. So that's my presentation this morning. And as promised, I want to circle back to Friday evening. Some of you weren't able to make it Friday evening. The topic Friday evening was Srila Prabhupada as the perfect acharya, the ever-well-wisher of all the devotees and all living entities, the ever-well-wisher, Srila Prabhupada. And so here's the recorded voice of Lakshmi Moni piecing together some statements Prabhupada is making about the meaning of being a well-wisher of others in an empathic manner. So get ready, and I hope the sound system is working properly this morning.
Friend, Mitra, is a little different from Surat. Mitra means I make friendship with you with some motive. But a father, he is Surat. Mother is Surat, always well-wishing. Or there may be some friend also always well-wishing, but the best example, that is father, is always well-wishing. How my son will be well-situated. How he will be happy. Similarly, Krishna says that when one can understand me as Suridam Sarvabhutanam, when we accept it firmly, convinced that Krishna is my father, Krishna is my friend, Krishna is my well-wisher, because you are my friend, for your benefit I am speaking. Yateham priyamanaya vakshyami hitakamyaya. A friend is always well-wisher of a friend. And to speak of Krishna becomes one's friend, and he becomes well-wisher, then what do you want more? You know that we have already described Krishna, the all riches, all strength, all knowledge, all beauty, and all fame, and all renunciation is there. So if he becomes your friend, if he becomes your well-wisher, then what do you want more? If you have got a friend who is very rich and very powerful, then do you think anything required more? A friend can sacrifice everything for a friend. And here is a friend where there is no limitation. There is no limitation of wealth. There is no limitation of favors. Where there is no limitation. Those who are actually saintly persons, they simply depend on Krishna. Why? If Krishna is supplying food to the elephant, beginning from the elephant to the ant, then why not to me? I'm engaged in his service. He is so ungrateful. If you serve, if you render some service somewhere, he pays you, gives you some wages. So if you are engaged in Krishna's service, do you think you will starve? Why? You cannot starve. He is well-wisher of all living entities. Why not for you? This confidence must be there. If he is well-wisher for everyone and I am engaged in his service, he is not my well-wisher. So we should simply depend on Krishna. We shall simply exert all our energies for the service of Krishna. Everything will be all right. This is called surrender. This is called confidence. Krishna will supply everything. Let me engage in his service. Well-wisher, attain peace from the pangs of material miseries. And those who are not confident that Krishna will protect them, they're in pangs also. Oh, what shall I eat? Where shall I live? What can I do? How shall I protect? Krishna is the friend of everyone. If I deliver the message to you that Krishna is your friend, I also become your friend. This is friendship, preaching Krishna consciousness. When you are in danger, no one can give you protection, Krishna, your only friend. Our business is only to deliver the message of Krishna and point out that Krishna is your friend. He is also the proprietor. Whatever you claim as your property will be taken by Krishna when you die. To educate people that Krishna is the proprietor is real friendship. Just spread this message of Krishna and you become the friend and well-wisher of all people. To become a spiritual master is not very difficult. We simply have to carry the message of Krishna with no adulteration. I am simply a peon delivering the message of Krishna to you. Although I personally may be the greatest fool, since the message I am delivering is from your dear most friend, I also become your dear most friend. So sadhu sangha is so essential. And sadhu's symptoms are described. And surida, we have already explained, surida means well-wisher for everyone. His heart is full of well-wishing for everyone. Everyone means Indian nationals? No. Sarvadehinam, all bodies, even for the cats and dogs.
Srila Prabhupada ki. So, we have some time. More time than the other classes for some discussion. Now, yesterday it was all on the ladies' side. Let's see if there's something over on this side. No hands up. Here's one.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Referring to Friday's lecture, you were talking about compassionate. And if we are aware of being compassionate, we see so much happening around us and in our daily interaction with people. So how do we act upon it and not get consumed by it?
Fantastic. Well, there's a few simple things. One of them that's really important is to see yourself as Krishna's instrument. And the instrument doesn't become consumed by the circumstance. Conversely, if we think I am the doer, or one of the devotees in the audience here calls it rescuer consciousness, then you become consumed by it. So if you're Krishna sees better than you or I can see. Krishna sees perfectly well. And Krishna cares. He's not an ingrate or stone. So how can I be the instrument of Krishna's caring? To my capacity, to my intelligence. And as we act according to capacity, intelligence, trying to be an instrument, somehow some further intelligence comes and some further capacity comes and we become a better instrument. So it's looking within. The result of this is you look within and say, the shortcoming is over here. I'm not a transparent instrument. How can I be a more effective instrument, a more transparent? So the fullness of Krishna's compassion, I can be an instrument of. So you're detached while at the same time caring. You're caring better and more effectively than acting through false ego, that kind of caring. And you don't get all mucked up.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So my question is the self-pity, depression and humility. Where should I draw the line? How do I know that where I am ending up on it?
How do I know? I didn't get it. Say it again. Don't read it. Just say it. Without reading it. Just say it.
So I have, now I know that self-pity.
You know that which?
Self-pity.
Self-pity.
Yeah.
Self-pity.
Right. Hmm. And depression and humility.
Depression.
And humility.
And humility.
So where do I...
Where's the line?
How do I know that where is I'm drawing the line and I'm in depression or I'm in pity on it, self-pity?
Well, that's a big topic. First of all, depression is an overused word these days. Depression is a clinical term, and when people are feeling a negative emotion, they call it, I'm feeling depressed. You know, it's feeling a negative emotion, feeling sad or hurt or unhappy, that's not depression. But some people, yes, they, anyway, so it's a misused word. Your question specifically is where to draw the line. That's your question. Well, one line is the spiritual conception. The spiritual conception is very clear. I'm over here, and the field of the material energy is over there. And I belong over here. It's similar to this other question of being compassionate and not owning the problem of that's out there that you're feeling compassion about. So a line to draw is Brahmabhuta. Now, we're not there yet. So it's something of a mix between, well, I have a notion that says I'm spirit soul, but I don't live my life that way. And so the false ego, that's the self-pity, and the negative emotion that I think is me, but it's not me, and I think it's me. So the degree, that line is to the degree to which we become immersed in the misidentification, the false ego, and thinking, could you just tilt this way a little bit? Yeah, thanks. The degree to which we're able to call to our recollection who we really are. From a spiritual perspective, that's protection, that's the line. And of course the line moves a bit depending upon how much we misidentify with the temporary and wanting to be the enjoyer of it, and it's not an enjoyable situation. And therefore, you know, that's the line. The depression, self-pity, frustrated, helpless. You know, the negative emotion starts to go further and further into darkness. We become intolerant, lose hopes. You know, all those negative emotions get darker and darker. It's the mode of ignorance. And the mode of goodness, at least it's knowledge. Now, where there's knowledge, there may also be a mix of passion and ignorance, but at least the direction of knowledge, it's theoretical. And then keep going. Practically apply in devotional service. That's the bhakti message. Krishna is to be pleased, not I'm to be pleased. The standard is not, how am I feeling at the moment? Like that bumper sticker, are we happy yet? Are we having fun yet? It's not about our having fun. It's about, is Krishna being pleased? And I may not be so effective at it, but that's my intention. So when that's operating, that's another line to look at. How much am I thinking, contemplating, intending to do what I'm doing, facing the circumstance that I'm facing, whatever that is, good, bad, mixed, and it changes. Just like the weather here. It's supposed to rain this afternoon. Sunny, partly cloudy, and then rain, maybe. So, like the weather. So the feelings in the mind, they keep changing. What's my position? I'm meant for Krishna's pleasure, whatever, if it's raining or sunny or mixed. So that's the line. And largely, this is my little statement. My little statement is many people, not exactly on the topic of your question, but many people join the Hare Krishna movement with their mind. And then when something swings the other way with the mind, you know, they question. thinking about, you know, having a question, because you're supposed to not have a question. But it happens, because, so you have to go beyond the mind, you know, to the soul, or the heart, or the intention of pleasing Krishna is beyond how am I feeling today. Am I getting happiness from my chanting? Is Krishna getting happiness from my chanting? That's the line. And you're not there yet. We're still, it's about me. So then, it's, you know, these other emotions come. And we don't handle them well sometimes, depending. Way over to the side, and then next. No, it's over there. His hand went up first. Atmani Vedana, put your hand up so you can see. Okay. And then up front here, and then in the back. And we have 12 minutes.
Hare Krishna.
He's a lawyer. Be ready.
Sri Rupa Swami, so when I'm thinking about this empathic process, these teachings, the context in which I sort of generally figure this is going to be applied for most of us, we're thinking amongst devotees, and hence the discussion about unity and diversity.
Yes.
So my question, I have two questions. They're maybe related somewhat, but not exactly. One is, to what extent should this be applied, and how so, when one person accepts the super soul figure in the heart, when there's two figures, and only one of them understands there's a super soul and a soul in both figures, but the other person doesn't know that there's a soul and a super soul in both figures. That's part one. And part two is, of my other question, is should this process, empathic process, be applied for practical ends, not merely spread Krishna consciousness?
Sure. The answer to the second one is sure. Practical. Back to the first one, I'm not sure what your question is. I'm not sure what you're asking specifically. Are you asking person A sees one way, person B sees another way, does the process of empathic communication work equally well for both of them?
To be more clear, if one person doesn't have any recognition of the fact that God exists or that he's a soul, does this process work where the other person does?
Limited and temporary. Or a shorter answer is no.
So, given that you say the shorter answer is no, what is the value in the application of the process in that context? And by the way, when I was asking my part two question, for practical ends, for me and for many persons, often the practical issues that we're dealing with don't have to do with the primary purpose of that activity being to spread Krishna consciousness, but we're dealing with someone who's atheistic, at least internally.
Well, the practical is somebody that's not recognizing super soul and soul. I know a few people like that. It may help them to come to that position because they want to feel good. They want to feel like they're some people. I mean, some people don't care. I mentioned one name. He doesn't care. But some people care. And they, you know, they want to feel like they're, you know, making a contribution to a better world by empathic communication. And they may not accept the spiritual position, just it's a mode of goodness intention. So those persons can be connected to the process, and then slowly, in the association of devotees, understand it's limited and temporary. Then to have it without limits. That's exactly what Prabhupada was saying in this recording Lakshmimoni was reading. No boundaries. And that's what we want. Not just feel good. So it's going to be less effective, limited, and temporary. But it can be an opportunity for persons to feel good. But if that's all that it is, shrama evhi kevalam. So for the devotee, we want to see people happy. And happy means permanently happy. Because the other is not real happy, that's the no. So now did I complete this circuit? You want to say something further? Yes, it is. Yeah, it is a broad topic, and broad topics require lots of discussion to, you know, get the big picture. And, you know, the question answer session, you don't get the big picture. It's just, you know, a very bullet point type of response. So we're interested in pleasing Krishna. And we're interested in bringing people to Krishna because that's what a real friend does. We want to be friendly. So some people, you know, they don't want Krishna. This AP guy, he didn't want Krishna. He wanted, you know, help people on the physical, temporary, limited platform. Swamiji, tell your followers to do it. They'll do it. Limited and temporary. So he was, you know, holding the line. Anyway, there's two other people in line, and it's 5 minutes to go. So there's not going to be time. Up front, raise your hand, please.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for the class. So Maharaj, you said, the question is honoring differences.
Yeah.
I think it is different than solving differences.
Rather than solving?
It's different than, let's say there are two people and we both honor our differences. But it's different than, or one person is honoring the difference, the other person has no insight. Or one community or one nation. But it's different, it's not solving a difference, it's different. Just honoring it. How do I go ahead?
How do we do what?
My question is...
This is the practical part that he was asking about.
Yes.
So let's hear the practical question. If we honor differences, then what?
Then, no. If there is no we, let's say it's one party.
One person is honoring differences,
one
the other
honoring.
One is going to forget you.
So then what? Then how do you solve it?
Then you got Donald Trump. He's an animal. That's what you got. Woof woof. That's what you got. You got animal life. Now, when you're dealing with an animal, what do? You know, you respect the differences. This is an animal.
But
I'm not going to go and, you know, embrace the animal. He's an animal. I want to keep my distance from that growling beast. I respect it. You know, that's the nature of that animal. So supposing you're in the workplace and you got somebody that's like that. Or you're in school and somebody's a bully. You know, they're not respecting differences. They're doing their thing. So, that's the nature. This person is paining inside like anything. That's why they're doing that. Somewhere behind that behavior, there's a deep hurt. And they're acting out that hurt. That's like their protection mechanism. And I feel compassion for that person. And I'm going to keep my distance. Unless you're Narada Muni. Unless you have the capacity to deliver that person. You keep your distance from that person. But you still remain compassionate and respecting, you know, that's the... I feel compassion for that person that's, you know... I'm going to keep my distance from Donald Trump. I'm not going to... Anyway. And people that are... I never liked a bully when I was a little boy. I never liked bullies. I didn't like going to have fights with bullies, but I never liked, just keep my distance from those people. And it's still with me. That's maybe I'm not seeing with equal vision such people, but he's a spirit soul and he's a troubled person. Anyway, people that are like that, they're troubled people. And there's no resolution to it. They just growl louder and bigger until someone has a dog fight and beats them up. Anyway, sorry. Is that the answer? Practically speaking, when there are such, some one person sees and respects differences and another person doesn't, you have animal exchange, a non-human exchange.
Yes, Maharaj, but the distance is... Yes, Maharaj, but like, if I may ask...
Yeah.
The distance is... not possible in all cases. Let's say.
Say it again.
That to keep distance is not a practical. It may not be a practical solution in every situation.
May not be a practical
solution in every situation.
Just to keep your distance from that person. Yeah, that's possible. Sure, it's possible.
So, for example, may I give example?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you, Maharaj. So, like in my career, I have seen like. Child abuse, for example. A child is abused by its own mother or father.
Yes.
It's abused and it goes on.
Yes.
And goes on.
So then we have intervention procedures.
Not in every case.
Not in every case. And then, so then the person goes on suffering. What are you going to do? Practically speaking, what are you going to do as a professional?
Well, if it comes to me, then yes, I'm going to do a lot. I can do a lot. But, Father, I'm worried about the child psychology. This is one example.
Of course you're worried, but what's your power to do anything about it? You can pray, but this language, that's your sphere of concern and your sphere of influence. The concern is maybe outside of your ability to do anything about it. You can bring it to the attention of, social services people, saying this is an abuse situation. I'm just reporting it to you. And they may not be able to do anything either. I don't know. But, maybe if they get a report from a practicing physician, they can see, here's an abuse. They have their protocol. They have to observe whatever that is. I don't know.
I think you answered spheres of concern and sphere of influence.
Okay, it's 9:30 and we're going to honor the schedule.